1.
Good morning. I had a chance to open up the phone lines a few minutes before
the show started. So I just want to give a warm welcome to Miss Yvonne, her first time tuning in to the Coach Lalisa show today down in North Carolina. Good morning, good morning, and welcome. Also to our brand new friends that we just made out in Compton, California, good morning and welcome. Also want to give a shout out to the Kaplan Institute, that team up in Detroit. Thank you for tuning in, and good morning and welcome. Good morning to our Ohio connection, Miss Denise Jenkins, holding it down up there, businesswoman, entrepreneur, minister extraordinaire, chef, and the whole nine. She has an awesome domestic violence awareness program that she works on, and she also has a new book coming out. And good morning to all the authors, to all the authors with your books coming out this year. Wow, such an outpouring of books this year, so much so that I was forced to have a publisher and writer convention. Yes, forced, but it's going to be fun, like Adele says. That's my playground, holding conventions and workshops and trainings. That's not work for me, just so you know. That's not work for Lalisa. That is fun. It's like a kid going out to play. Also want to say good morning, good morning, good morning to a wonderful, wonderful and very, very special lady, Miss Virginia Dancy, also in North Carolina. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I want to give a shout out to Miss Insafiri down in Maryland. So many wonderful people, and all the support that we've gotten over the show. I want you to know, Mr. Walker, I posted this on Facebook. I don't have the day-by-day breakdown, but last year alone, 8,000 plus listeners for the Coach Lalisa show. So yay, give yourself a hand for all of you.
Wow, now that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know, right? All those who have tuned in and listened. Yes. So I didn't total the numbers for 2009 and then also for 2008, which is the year that we started the Coach, well, we started the show, and we weren't calling it the Coach Lalisa show when we first started. The show had the title Release Your Power. So, but here we are, 2011, starting a new year, so we got to have a big celebration. In April will mark 3 years that we've been on the air, so we just are as happy and excited, Mr. Walker. Wonderful, wonderful things are happening. I just have a couple of announcements that I want to give out for those of you who may be able to make it to Northeast New Jersey on March the 12th. We will be having the Writer and Book Club Publisher Conference right here in Newark, New Jersey at the Wyndham Hotel. So mark your calendar for that. You can also go to my Facebook page and get a flyer for that, or you can go to the website. Also, this Friday in Kenilworth, New Jersey, we will be at the, there's a place in Kenilworth, New Jersey, called the Kenilworth, it's the Kenilworth, what do you call that place, VFW. At the Kenilworth VFW, we will be there this Friday for Sister to Sister is having their annual, this is their 1 year anniversary. So they're having a humongous celebration. And they normally meet anyway on the third Friday of every month. So particular Friday, they have to take it outside of their normal venue because of the size of the event. And so they're going to have Miss Anita Spaulding. She will be the keynote speaker. I will be emceeing the event. So we look forward to you coming out for that. The tickets are $25. So I just wanted to let you know that. And I definitely want to, and that's also posted on my Facebook page, or you could look for Charlene Bey, B-E-Y, on Facebook, or Miss Angela Vett Williams, who is the CEO. But it's going to happen at the Kenilworth VFW. So that's going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. Going to have a great and wonderful time. Women are going to be there to network, and there are going to be men there as well. But it is definitely a networking organization. So I definitely want you to come out to that. And we have some other announcements, but I'll save those for you for tomorrow. So now I want to turn it over to Mr. Versi Walker. And again, just to welcome, oh, yes, a couple more shout-outs to Mr. Paul Karazi in Tokyo, Japan. Thank you for all your support. Miss Gloria in California, Miss Kiva Renee, Miss Elaine, who just opened a new business, and she'll come on sometime next week and tell you all about that. Also, Mr. Johnny Slim, Miss Patricia Martin. We can't forget Miss Patricia Martin. Oh, yes, and don't forget, all of those of you who you want to write that book and you want to self-publish, contact myself or Miss Adele on Facebook. We will have the flyers up. We did one class. It was a huge success. We had two or three people to sign up for that session. So, you know, that's big for people to take that next step to getting their book done. So we want to thank those who tuned in to that workshop, and we'll have them actually come on and they can share with you what they got out of it so you'll know what to look forward to. But this is the year. I'm telling you, y'all better come on, get on board. The train, as my pastor would say, has already left the station. Now you have to run and catch up and jump on with us. So, Mr. Walker, how are you? I know he probably had us on mute there for a minute.
No, I'm with you. No, I'm doing splendidly well. How about yourself?
Okay, I thought maybe you had to take a sip of your coffee there. Mr. Walker, where have you been lately? Have you been traveling around the country?
You know what? No, I've actually been here at home and at the office because I've been just, you know, strategizing for, you know, what's to come for this year. You know, the ending of the year was so fantastic for me. The last 6 months was, you know, a whirlwind of activities, meeting some phenomenal people, and just staying on target and focused. And then I changed a slight dimension, you know, at the end of the year towards my marketing and as well as the publicity of helping other authors create their dreams and their legacy. And so I think it was in December when I launched the consulting publishing opportunity for others who want to publish their book and they want someone to kind of walk through the journey with them, someone who's doing it, who's done it, to help them get over several different hurdles. And I've had so many people respond to that and been sitting down, talking to various individuals, seeing where they're at in their journey and what their desires are for, you know, 2011 and their book or what's inside of them. And, you know, I'm glad to announce that I just said I wanted three people to work with so that I can give them kind of a 100% hands-on focus on their project. And I've been able to do that. And now I've actually on Monday sent out two agreements for two individuals that I'm going to work with to help publish their book within this year. So when you said that there are tons of people who are publishing their book or bringing their book out this year, I am so excited for those individuals to be taking the leap of faith. And so I've been just, again, myself focusing in on that to make sure I give them the undivided attention. At the same time, building relationships outside of that to help foster their dreams as well as mine. So I've been a little low-key for the last couple of weeks just to make sure I get a handle on this, but I've also been announcing, too, on Facebook that there is one spot still available for that individual who, again, wants some assistance in getting their project off the ground, because you and I have did it by ourselves, and we know that that journey can be a tireless one and it can be a frustrating one. So I want to try to help individuals and be that buffer and show them the way, because I know a lot of these individuals are trying to go about it themselves and they don't have the direction. And then sometimes it could be so time consuming that somebody may falter along the way, and I want their path to be a little bit more clearer. So that's what I've been doing. So thanks for asking. I've been missing you guys. It's been quiet out there.
Well, yes. Well, and then, you know, the weather, too, has kept some of us in a day or two. So awesome, awesome. I know you have something great for us today. The other week, and you talked about failing. Then one week you talked about forgiving, how we have to be walking in forgiveness. So we have really been chewing on these messages, so we can't wait to hear what message that you have for us this Wednesday on the middle of the week for some, and for others it might be the beginning of their week, because, you know, we know that people work all kinds of work weeks. There's no such thing anymore as a, it's pretty much no more just a Monday through Friday kind of 9 to 5. So I know in my job we have about 18 different shifts, because we're open 24 hours, 365 days a year. So we have all these different shifts that people work. And the same thing for people who work, say, with the airlines and the airports and things of that. Companies where they're open, you know, 24 hours. People's days off, all kinds of times. And I have one friend, and she works from 3 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And I always get confused just thinking about her shift. So, you know, people have all these different shifts. But it is still Wednesday, and it is still middle of the week, no matter what work week you have. So we are here to be pumped up, motivated, and inspired. And now, Mr. Versi Walker, take it away.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Coach. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year's one last time. I think this will be the last time I'll say Happy New Year's to everyone. I hope that everyone is having a wonderful and safe week thus far. I know you just mentioned about the rain. I saw so many news posts yesterday and on the TV showing individuals in these cars that are sliding at, you know, an excessive speed because they weren't prepared for what was in front of them. That ice, this snow, is dangerous. For those who don't need to be out there, sit back, relax, and tune into the Coach Lalisa Show, or chime into the archives and just take a step back. Even if you have an SUV, people, understand that just means there's two more tons of metal, rubber, and glass that are, you know, careening down the roadway. The SUV doesn't mean that you won't slip and slide. I discovered that 12, 13 years ago when I got my first SUV, Coach, and I turned a corner in Chicago, and that car just kept sliding almost into the guardrails. So people, be safe out there. It is rough. You know, protect yourself. Individuals who are out there shoveling, protect your back. Come inside when you feel cold. Relax. Relax. Decompress, because it's not worth it. Your family, your friends, and everyone else feels you're more valuable than that event and or job that you were going to. And I notice sometimes and realize if you just wait 15 minutes, if you just wait 20 minutes, then the road can be a little bit more thawed. There may be several other people who are out there who made the roads a little warmer, and now there's no more slickness. So, again, gauge yourself and protect yourself at the same time. As always, people, I am excited and glad to be here and able to join you all for our Wednesday morning midweek inspiration. Many thanks to the listeners for tuning in. You're talking about 8,000 listeners. I didn't do the quick math and break it down by month, but that's a lot of people who are listening, and we hope that we have impacted your life in such a way that we can bring about change. Because I believe if you want to change someone's thinking, you have to change what they're seeing. And if you're seeing and hearing more of us who are being progressive, who are, you know, dictating their direction, who are creating their lives, I think we can then change this great world from their expectation. I was listening to the gentleman's name is the other Wes Moore. He wrote a book, this gentleman. He lived in Baltimore during the time of the crack epidemic. Him and his mom, they moved to New York to try to run from that, and actually got smack dead into it. And he was, you know, going on the wrong path. And I think it was the age of 10 or 12, his mother and grandparents and family scrounged up enough money to send this man to Philadelphia to a military boarding school. He didn't like it. He resisted it. He fought it. But he has gone on to get accolades from Condoleezza Rice. He has toured the world over several times. He is a man of greatness. But he got a phone call, I think, while in South Africa, touring abroad, from his mother years ago saying, you know what, there's wanted pictures and posters in your neighborhood. And he said, okay. And you know what, it's a lot of crime and stuff going on, but these posters are disturbing. She's like, okay, but why are you calling me? Well, they're looking for Wes Moore. There was another gentleman, same age, in the same town, him and his three friends and brothers broke into a jewelry store and snatched a jewelry and then subsequently killed a security guard who was an undercover cop. Well, that Wes Moore got caught, and that Wes Moore is now living in jail for the rest of his life. But this man, something compelled him to reach out to this gentleman, find out about his history and everything, and how could someone with the same given name, born in the same circumstances around the same time, and what differentiated him where one is, you know, a Rhodes Scholar, and the other one is serving time for the rest of his life. The one compelling thing I got from the story was he asked Wes Moore that was in jail, he said, you know, what made the difference between you and I? Was it our environment? He said, no. We're a product of our expectation. People, understand that. We're a product of our expectation. You and I have said it several times, Coach, that no one rises to low expectations. So when parents provide children with low expectations, low self-esteem, low self-respect, they go nowhere, they grow nowhere. And then their environment fosters that through offering only, you know, drug paraphernalia, gang lifestyle, and subservient or mediocre behavior. That's where they'll grow, to low expectations. We can change that. So I think that 8,000 number, which we know would double in 2011, Coach, is indicative of people deriving, looking for, striving for more, looking for a better way, raising their expectations. And I'm glad to be on this platform with you, sharing that type of fostering, that type of behavior, that type of growth. So I said again, thank you to the listeners. And again, Coach, thank you for allowing me to share this platform to provide some positive messages and my life experience with others, so that we can all be products of our expectations, the highest expectations. I'm glad you again asked where have I been, and as I mentioned, on Monday I proudly sent out two agreements to two separate individuals where I would help them to cultivate their product. I would help them to bring their dream to visible manifestation so that they could too, like you and I, hold in their hand proudly a document, a product that will hopefully change not only their life but the lives of so many others. And so I'm excited to be able to do this, Coach. I'm excited to be part of this, to thought of this. See, it's hard to keep up with people like you and Adele every week, every day, churning out new, great, wonderful ideas and services and products for these people, and I'm just trying to catch up. So, again, I'm excited, Coach. I'm excited. Now, besides that, I'm healthy. My new book is coming along so well, and 2011 has started out on a great note. And so I'm just glad and happy to be alive. For anyone who's looking to learn more about me and to secure an autographed copy of my book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, visit my website at www.versiewalker.com. That's V as in victory, ERSIEWALKER. Now, with that being said and out of the way, Coach, today I want to talk about the word stress. More importantly, I want to cover the tips for reducing stress. But before that, I want to go back to something you said. You said that one week I talked about failure. The next I talked about the power of forgiveness. And I have a friend of mine from Chicago who chimes in and listens to us, and she has been a great inspiration and motivation through the time in which we met each other. Her conviction, her honesty, just her transparency, and I love her for it. And she listened last week, and she said, "You're talking about the power of forgiveness." And I'm sitting there thinking, how can this apply to my, you know, my business? And I said, "Oh, I'm thinking, if someone who knows me and someone who listens to us, and they're trying to differentiate or trying to balance or trying to see where an aspect of what I'm saying fits into their life, I want to make sure that I convey up front that my messages, my thoughts are holistic. I believe they should balance or they should work well with anything that's going on in your life because you are your business. You can't be one person in your personal life and somebody different in your business." So in forgiveness, she thought about relationships that she had that she allowed to tarnish for whatever reason, and she put the onus back on her. And she said, "I need to reestablish those relationships, personal as well as business relationships, and sometimes holding grudges personally are preventing you from growing in your business." So people, these messages should apply, and I hope that they do. And if they only apply to one aspect of your life or another, great. But I want to furnish you with enough ammo that you can go out there and you won't feel defenseless when it comes down to these things and overcoming stereotypes, stigmas, dogmas, superstition. If we can move those out the way along with your egos, we can grow as people. And we no longer go to the next level, but we go to the next stratosphere, the next dimension. You become paramount. You reach the zenith, and I want everyone to feel that way. So my presentations or my thoughts, I want them to transcend everything you do, personal, professional, and interpersonal relationships. I hope that these help to help you in your life to flourish. So, again, I want to touch on the topic of stress and also cover several tips as it relates to stress. For many of us, stress has come, and it is simply a way of life. Thinking of, you know, this time right now, and I just mentioned about the number of accidents that are going on because of this weather and the weather conditions. Sometimes you just can't be prepared. But we take a step back, and maybe we think, you know what, I was rushing. I was already having anxiety. I was stressed trying to get to X, Y, and Z. Maybe that could have been prevented. Now, I could imagine how many people are under stress and why. As I speak, think of this. All the stress that is put on us or that we put on ourselves just leading up to Christmas, buying gifts, running to the mall, what outfits to wear, Christmas parties, and the list goes on. At the top of that list, typically, usually, and at least in my life, on top of that list of stress or stress-related has been finance, and usually the lack thereof, finance. Then comes January, this wonderful month of January, the beginning of anew. However, it's the continuation, the continuum, or continued success. The people who are carrying the burden of not standing still. You know, that's what the new is. I'm not going to stand still. I'm not going to be the same person I was last year. I'm going to change. I don't want to repeat the same mistakes. Then creeping up behind them, once again, besides that pressure of New Year's resolutions and staying committed and focused and not standing still but moving forward, right up behind them creeps up to the top of the list once again is usually finance. What becomes a concern is the fact or the conscious or the thinking of what was spent several months prior or what was overspent and thinking that, you know what, this is now about to come to haunt me. I shouldn't have bought those $500 True Religion jeans. Did I really need another iPad or an iPod to connect to my iWorld? We start to think of those things and start having buyer's remorse or regretting the activity that's leading up to this extra stress. But then you say, that's okay. I can deal with it. You know why? Because I have my taxes to fall back on. Or, here we go again. more stress. Running around gathering information to take to your tax person only to have more stress when the money comes in, if it comes in at all. The stress then, you know, gets shifted. The stress is now here. What do I do with this lump sum of money? Because for some reason, this lump sum of money still does not cover your wish list or the expenses that you are under prior to receiving those funds. It's funny to me because we oftentimes spend money 5 to 8 times before we ever get it. So we're anticipating $500. We then promise that money to others. You know, if you loan me some money, I got my taxes coming. If you just take me here, I got to go pick up something. If you drive me here, and we spend that money 5 ways to Sunday. And when the money comes in, it's $375. So now you're $125 shy of what you anticipated. So then the money that comes in still doesn't even cover your wish list or your commitment, thereby increasing your level of stress. Also, there is the stress that are brought on by relationships. The stress at work. The stress that's caused by family and businesses, and so on and so on. When we think about stress, and me as I'm moving forward with you guys telling you the tips for reducing stress, for most Americans, stress has become, as I said, a way of life. In just the past 30 years, there has been an increase in stress-related illnesses. See, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we as people, especially African Americans, we didn't get certain diseases and certain ailments. But now, because we're carrying the burden of stress, we're getting ailments that are usually foreign to us, and we don't even know why. We don't even recognize the source. As more demands are placed on individuals, families, employers, and society, this trend is certain to continue. Americans are no longer working, as you just said, Coach, 40-hour work week. The average work week has grown to 60-plus hours, which is actually a 33% increase from 30 years ago, probably 33% increase from just 15 years ago. In order to stay competitive, employers are expecting more productivity with fewer resources. So you're doing twice and sometimes 3 times the amount of work that you should be, and you're responsible. There's a level of culpability throughout your day. Medical studies are showing, and employment stats are also showing, that there is an increase in the number of sick days, hospital visits, and ultimately death, due to this thing called stress. Due to the increasing need for additional income placed on the vastly deteriorating middle class, one could start and begin to see why stress is the leading cause of major illnesses. Some of us are trying to keep up with the Joneses. Some of us are just trying to change generational poverty to generational wealth. And much like any other sacrifice, it's usually born onto the person's physical. Someone wanted freedom, and they took the sacrifice of their life to make sure they made a change so that their children wouldn't have to suffer the way they did. It is historical. So we know what that means. We know why the great majority of us, or so we think, why we're doing what we're doing. But when you work twice as many hours with 3 times the amount of pressure just to, again, go out and buy a $300 pair of jeans, you're actually working against yourself and creating a facade, but at an additional stress. I am so glad that they bought out Levi's again. Coach, you just don't know. a $19 pair of Levi's, a $26 pair of Levi's look so much nicer on a person than any $1,500 jeans I've ever seen. And the great thing about a pair of Levi's, when they don't look right no more, they kind of got a few stains or they're ripped, you can cut them and make some nice shorts out of them. But we have to be a lot more practical with what we're doing. We can't keep adding layers of stress and wondering why we're aging, why our body is deteriorating, why we need pseudo additives every morning just to get us up out of bed, and then we brag about it. I need more coffee. Do you know that Starbucks now has a Slurpee-sized coffee? They have a 31-ounce plus cup of coffee. I've never seen the addictive behavior of coffee in society than I've seen today. There's people I'm noticing, Coach, going through the malls, and their children are getting excited when they see a Starbucks like we used to when we saw McDonald's. Where are we at, people? Let's pull back the rein and grab control of ourselves. Vitamin C, orange juice, and water get you through the day. Positive mindset will get you through the day. Being good to yourself will get you through your lifetime. Take care of yourself, everyone. As I'm saying here, medical studies have shown the increase of deaths due to this thing called stress, due to the need for additional income. And I said also the deteriorating middle class. I don't know how many people are realizing that it has been. And the middle class, they have been targeting the middle class for decades, seeing how they can alleviate that group of people, you and I, so that you're either affluent or you're poverty-stricken. And then there'll be no confusion of the two. Now, most of us are being consumed daily with numerous activities, from running errands, job requirements, and family commitments. It is so hard, and it's no wonder why millions of Americans are out of shape, out of touch, and feeling that they are out of their minds. Stress is now part of our everyday conversation. Men, women, and children alike can be heard saying, "I'm stressed," or "I'm stressing out." Unfortunately, for far too long, this has been or has now become the norm. Now, understand, people, stress can cause migraines, headaches, shoulder, neck, and back pain. Various forms of cancer has been discovered to have been caused by stress. Heart attacks, high blood pressure, and sleeplessness brought on by stress. Excessive weight gains, or the pendulum, the swinging back and forth constantly with your weight, can be attributed to stress. These are just some of the effects of stress, and for many, their consequences can be deadly. Many Eastern cultures, and this is what most people don't get to understand, many Eastern cultures believe and understand that you must have peace, balance, and harmony in order to live a fully productive life. In various countries, such as China and Japan, businessmen, managers, and workers are seen in large groups throughout the day exercising and meditating. Not only does this seem to reduce stress, it increases flexibility, mobility, and longevity. In today's marketplace, you can find tons of products and methods for reducing stress. Items ranging from expensive, and Brookstone, but expensive stress-relieving pillows, back massagers, stress-reducing crystals, and more. Many of you received or purchased those same type of items that I'm talking about as Christmas gifts for others, and at the same time, knowing that you're probably just as much in stress as they are, didn't grab it for yourself. Most of us are just short, short-term, temporary, quick fixes, with no long-term results. So these things, they only bring about a slight release because we go right back to the same activity that brought upon the stress that we're under. So they're just short-term. We don't put these in our New Year's resolutions, you know, to reduce stress, to back up, to pull back, to say, you know what, this isn't for me. I'm going to do something that's going to be decompressing, that's going to be enhancing my life. We just constantly deplete and wonder why things aren't growing, why we're not going to where we want to be. Now, I, for myself, have found several great ways for reducing stress that are simple, they're easy, quick, and more importantly, they're free, and they have a long-term residual effect. So people, hopefully you have your pen and pad ready, because I'm going to share those things with you. First, I believe you should try to stay focused and positive. By reducing distractions and eliminating negative thoughts in your life, in your world, in your affairs, you can reduce a great amount of stress. Second, set aside maybe 15 or 45 minutes every day, either in the morning or before bedtime, to relieve your mind. Exercising helps. Walking, bike riding, or other meditating, you know, regimes or rituals really help. That 15-minute factor I talk about on my website, and I also talk about in my book. I talk about the 15-minute lunch. I talk about reducing stress. I talk about how, for me, that 15-minute factor works so well in my life. Getting to an event, especially work, 15 minutes earlier, reduce stress. I wasn't stuck in the parking lot. I wasn't stuck on the expressway with everybody else who was running late or running behind. I was able to get in and get organized and get situated and start my day. I also talk about how on the back end of leaving work, where everybody's clogging the elevators and the hallways, you know, like a bottleneck, trying to get to the parking lot where they then sit and frustrated and slamming their hand against the steering wheel, I would wait 15 minutes. I would make one more phone call, do one more project, pick up my items, whatever it was. But when I got to the parking lot, it was empty. When I got on the roadway, the accidents, the police pulling people over and everything, they were in front of me and I was passing them by because that 15-minute ritual, it changed my life. I reduced stress, I became more productive, and I was focused. Third, I recommend to become interdependent. Find others that are strong in the areas or have an expertise, and then partner up with them, either to share responsibilities, to critique, or to act as a mentor. That's what I'm doing with my consulting publishing program this year. I'm partnering up with individuals who have an expertise in areas in which I don't want to participate, I have lack of knowledge, or they can get it done more efficiently and proficiently than I can. And then I'm also assisting others along this journey or along their journey and helping to smooth the road, helping to see potholes so that we can detour. It is easy to drive from here to Chicago sitting in the car by myself, but it's a lot more fun and beneficial when I have someone riding shotgun, looking out, maneuvering, directing me, and we're getting there faster and more efficient with less stress. Next, arrive, as I just said, at each event 15 to 20 minutes earlier. This will allow you the time to prepare and settle in before the event begins, and you feel good about yourself. I've learned, Coach, a lot of my Caucasian counterparts, they go to an event, a carnival, a circus, a play. They get there an hour early. And I'm like, I'm not getting nowhere an hour early. What is the benefit? Well, I'll tell you. You get to a Lakers game an hour early, one, you got a place in the parking lot. But the benefit is that you and your children could sit courtside and watch the guys practice. If you get a T-shirt or a basketball or something in hand, they'll autograph it for you. if you get to a three-ring circus an hour early, your kids get to see it being set up, get to see them walking the animals, and they get to talk to the clowns and everything else. And then your children may not want to grow up to be a clown or stop clowning around when they realize there's another facet to that business. Organizing, you know, putting up the banner, they'll see so much more than the rushing or the hustle and bustle trying to make it through the line to get their seats. So there is a benefit of getting somewhere early. You can be the first at something, probably for the first time in your life. Next, I recommend utilizing deep breathing techniques. And if you think about this, if you breathe in through your nose, and I learned this when I took up Taekwondo 30 years ago, in through your nose and out through your mouth. This increases blood circulation and reduces tension. It allows you to control your breathing. It allows you to eliminate the fear, because one time when fear comes in, you become anxious and you start breathing fast, you can't breathe, you know. No, in through your nose, out through your mouth. When you're walking or jogging, in through your nose, out through your mouth, you will jog longer, walk longer, and go further than your counterparts because they're breathing incorrectly. So deep breathing techniques, opening your lungs, let blood and let other, you know, particles flow freely through your system. It truly helps people when you do these things systematically on a regular basis, because you're in control. You're dictating and guiding which way your life is going, because stress is something that we should not be under. We are the only country in the civilized world that celebrates stress. Oftentimes in situations that if the boss is under stress, if deadlines aren't made, you then become stressful. If the boss or your mate is happy, then you're happy. All these other outside sources that are controlling your destiny, your well-being, and your health, we're giving it away. As I mentioned, in China, they sit or they squat quite a bit. And some people are like, oh, you know, you're always sitting down. They're resting and they're preserving their energy for an opportunity should they have to run, should they have to overexert themselves later on. We're seen in places where there are chairs and we'll stand. Oh, no, I'm going to stand. I'm trying to get taller. That's stress. We'll go into a situation knowing we shouldn't be there. We'll tell ourselves all the way there. Some men, you know, I shouldn't go to the bar. You know, every time I go to the bar, I drink, I spend a little bit of money, I got to go back home, you know, I'm under stress. And, but then we'll justify it. Well, you know what, she's always fussing at me, so I drink. Well, it's probably adversely is the fact that you're always drinking is why she's fussing at you. We create this stress. We create this paradigm. And then we wonder why things haven't changed for us and what is it doing to us. Today we're living longer, Coach. The average person will live to age 80 and 85, but we're not living healthier and we're not living happier because of these born-on stress-related illnesses and diseases that we're now having to supplement our bodies with diabetic medication, cholesterol medication, and all these other things because we're not living healthier. And some of it can just be simply if people will go back to walking to the corner store. The first time I heard somebody driving to the corner store, it blew my mind. We walk to the corner store. We walk to someone's house. We walk to the show. We walk so much in our lives. And so when I was growing up, the average person could have been husky, but not obese. So when I look at my grammar school picture, if there were 28 students in a class, two of them may have been husky. Today, if you look at the same group of individuals, either now at their current age or the children in that same age bracket, maybe 25 of them are a little overweight or what they're calling morbidly obese, and just three are below the average or the norm or what they should be. we can't do this, people. They're building bigger caskets because of the obesity problem, and we're burying more members of families a lot sooner because of this stress, because of this stress born on illnesses and habits and behaviors. We must detox and decompress ourselves. For those who are working every day and they're coming home to a subtle environment, but they're, you know, bringing the stress with them, I ask you to do that 15-minute ritual. If you need to sit in your garage before coming in, if you need to sit at the local, you know, grocery store or in the parking lot at Walmart, to detox yourself and decompress yourself, it will add more value to your life than ever before. My neighbor is a chiropractor. 3 or 4 years ago, when everybody else in the neighborhood was making hand over fist money with their businesses, his practice was just maintaining. It wasn't, you know, nothing spectacular. Now, due to the financial catastrophe that we have now been in for the last 36 months, this man has gotten a pool put in his house. He's gotten his backyard done. I just saw him with a Mercedes 600. All of these other things that now all of my other neighbors are not buying anymore or doing anymore because his business is flourishing. See, what has happened, the paradigm, or there's been a shift. All of these people who were rolling high and living high were spending money at the spa. They were going to the spa to get massaged and get their body adjusted, or so, you know, so they thought. And they weren't using the insurance policies that they have that enables you to get, if it's preventive care, you can get your back cracked or you can get adjusted by your doctor. So now he is seeing his billing increase by 300% just because the people are shifting. And now they're under so much stress that, you know what, they can't even afford to go to the spa. But you know what, I can go to my chiropractor, and he's benefiting directly from that. He's not cynical. He's not, you know, looking at it, well, you know, hey, ha-ha, you should have been coming to me anyway. He's just now enjoying the harvest. He had already had the seed. He had already had the business. He already believed that they shouldn't have been going to the spa. One, they were being overcharged. Two, they weren't being taken care of by licensed practitioners. So now he is benefiting. In fact, two of my neighbors who are like that, they're benefiting, and I see their prosperity just by shifting. And these people are probably now going out of there feeling so much better, because if you're like me, if you've ever had pain, like a back pain, you're willing to give anything to be from up under it. It is excruciating. It could be debilitating, but you can't think well when you're in pain, and you can't think well, people, when you're under stress. Believe me, you're fooling yourself. It just doesn't happen. You're making bad judgment calls because you're doing it on the fly, and you're not doing it with a sober mind. You're doing it under stress, which can be intoxicating. So I ask each and every one of you today to discover, find out, or ask yourselves, what will you do to reduce your stress starting today? And I ask that you go right ahead and do just that. If it means telling your children, give me 5 minutes. If it means telling your spouse, you know what, I just need a half an hour every day when I come through the door. No one's clamoring at me. No one's yelling at me. Just give me a half an hour, and I can be the best you when I come from outside of that, from the other side of that door. Find out what it is that sends you off and alleviate it and immediately eliminate it out of your life. You will then give back life as you gave birth to other ideas and to creations and to children. You will give back something that you lost. You can't ever catch up on time. So when people tell you they're going to catch up on sleep, you don't. Sleep is lost. Sleep is lost. The one thing about energy, it's never lost. It's just transferred. So energy is not created nor lost. It's transferred. So you can transfer it back into your being, back into your universe, back into your world. But stop professing, praising, giving credence to stress. The word for me itself is stressful. You know, just to say I'm under stress. Some of it, again, we bring upon ourselves, and we wonder why we can't get from up under it, because we have to change our way of thinking, change our way of being. And if you want to be healthy, happier, wealthier, and wiser in 2011, you will have to become somebody you weren't. And you will have to do something that you didn't do in 2010. And I ask that you begin with you, and you begin by reducing, eliminating stress. Bring on those people who can help you. Partner up, mentor, do things that you probably haven't did in the past 20 years. Get out there and take that walk. Shovel your own driveway. Speak to a neighbor. Rebuild those relationships that have been tarnished or bruised because you're carrying that burden of stress. Oh, man, if I bump it to her, oh, man, what is she going to say? If I see him, oh, he's going to ask for that $50. You know what? Eliminate that. Alleviate that. And get on board and let 2011 be a resounding new you, taking it to the next stratosphere, going beyond the next level. And as I always ask, remember to stay and remain fearless. So this is your year, everybody. I feel it. And Coach, with that being said, take it over. Take it away. It's yours.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We're going to get rid of that stress. We're knocking it out. Boop, boop, boop. Like my good friend.
I know where you got that from.
Boop, boop, boop. Where? Mr. Wally Hakeem.
Yes,
knocking
yes,
out.
Yes.
Boop, boop, boop.
Oh,
knocking it out. Knocking it out, local. One, two, punch. He
go.
Is a boy, we'll talk about a fireball. He is truly, truly a fireball. Oh, you're a fireball, Mr. Walker, knocking out that stress. Oh, we got some great topics for you this year. Talk about accepting our failures and using those failures as stepping stones to greatness. Every failure I've ever had, I tell you, I thank God for it. Let me let you know, I don't look down on none of the stuff that happened at the time. Oh, listen, at the time, I thought it was the end of the world. But today, I tell you, especially for us authors, it's just another chapter for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not careful, it's a whole other book. For us speakers, it's another workshop topic. Okay? For leaders, it's something else that you can help your people that are following you with. Because trust me, everything you've been through, the fact that you've come through it, is a setup for somebody else. Everything you've been set free from or you've overcome, whether it be any kind of addiction, addiction to spending money, addiction to drugs, addiction to sex, addiction to any shopping, lying, cheating, whatever. Do you know there are some people who are even addicted to failing?
Right.
They won't let it go. They hold on to not succeeding in life. As if it's an addiction, like smoking cigarettes or something.
Correct.
Some kind of a habit. Yes. So here we are today. It's been a great, wonderful day. Good morning to Master. Let me tell you, when it says Motivation Master, he is the master. He's the author of Seeds Grow. This Coach Lalisa show, I tell you, this is it's becoming a forum, Mr. <Walker. laughs> It's becoming a forum of sorts, a symposium where like-minded people can come together. It's actually, it has already transformed into a, you know, one of those millionaire groups, what do they call them? Yeah, mastermind type of groups. It's already transformed and transformed into that sometime last year. So everyone here are individuals who, again, are not just trying to go to the top, but we're on our way over the top. So as unlike Monday and Tuesday where, you know, the show lasted 2 hours both days.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, we can't do that today because I have to run off and conduct a CPR class. I have to get set up, so I can't do it today. But I tell you, the topics that, because, again, we are a forum or a symposium, a group of people, and see the difference with a mastermind group and some other groups is that in the mastermind group, we all have the goal, whatever our goals are, but we're
right.
all going to reach because we're all going to help each other. This is not a cutthroat, I get it and you don't get it, I got it, now I want you to have it. See, this is not one of those kinds of groups, just so that you'll know. When you come into this group, you have to be ready now to support others, even when your stuff ain't jumping off.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Your stuff might look like it's at a standstill, but you got to then still heavily pour into others. Some people, you want to know the secret of how I got to where I am? That's how I did it, is when my stuff wasn't doing nothing, I was right there pouring into others, helping them, encouraging them, sowing seeds, and I'm talking about financial seeds. That's how it happens.
That's how it happens.
What you do for others, I'll make it happen for you. And so, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there for some people who, you know, maybe you wonder, you know, why am I tuning into this show? What am I going to get out of it? What are the benefits? Well, that's the benefits, is that we are all going to be reaching our individual goals that we have set for ourselves. And then this is a comfortable forum for you to bring your goals to us, and we will empower you, motivate you, inspire you, encourage you, support you. And I know, Mr. Walker, you know this better than a whole lot of people, because we met through Facebook. You mm-hmm. drove from New York to come to an event that I had posted, and the event was canceled. There was no notice of the cancellation. You came to the event, spent your money, your time, left your family, went to the hotel, waited, found out that I wasn't coming. Then you didn't curse me out. You didn't say that whatever. You called me up and said, oh, something must have happened. Not a problem. Let me know when your next event is. And that's what made me call you back. When you posted mm-hmm. that message, instead of, well, what happened? Where were you?
Right.
I was waiting all that. Why weren't you there? I spent my money. See, that, if you had did that, this would never be a Coach Lalisa and Versi Walker.
Right. Amen.
But your response
Amen.
Is the reason why, yes, we've been doing this and the other, you know, things that have happened, you know, since we have met, and then you came down. Then when I did the Releasing Your Inner Power, you said, I just want to help in any kind of way. Mm-hmm. Again, you drove from New York. You could have said in your mind, it ain't going to happen. The last time she posted something, it didn't go down. See, people got to move beyond that kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I understand where it comes from, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. Move mm-hmm. beyond that, because you could be missing your blessing.
Now, see, I thought you called me back because of my charm and my wit and my just exceedingly being handsome. I just, oh, wow, okay. It was my response. No, but that is true, and people, and that's the part, you know, I'm trying to explain each time we talk, and it's just not your personal, but if you change your personal way of thinking and behaving, look how, you know, your professional or your admirations or what you're aspiring to can develop, how you can change your circumstance and situation by simply changing how you think. You know, and I think the most successful way to change someone's thinking is to change what they see. So if you would have saw this, you know, that behavior that I'm sure you've seen before, that may have even been in yourself, if you would have saw that behavior, you would have shut down, as you just admitted that you wouldn't have responded because you saw something different. You know,
I would have never called you, but just know, I would never act like that, ever.
Right, there you go.
So just know that too now. No. I would have responded just like you, because I understand that everything is either a learning experience.
Right.
And I believe there's something always, because, see, had I gotten to the hotel and there had been no one there, I would have just started talking with the agents.
Yeah, and I did.
No, that's how I do it. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I do. You know, I do that. That's what I do wherever I go. Like yesterday, we went to the shelter, and though they weren't prepared, you think I went out there, oh, it's icy on the ground. I done drove all the way out here and weigh your people. No. I went in. Hey, we were bubbly. Listen. If I'm bubbly when I start, I want to be bubbly when I'm done.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
See, that's a whole nother show. Talk about how to keep that bubbly, peaceful attitude. We shouldn't be letting situations drive our personality. Don't let situations drive your personality and your attitude. Your attitude drives the situation. So because I came
Correct.
In there, they were acting they were actually feeling bad because they tried to reach me, but they couldn't. So but I lightened them up. Oh no, well no, ain't no big deal. What are you talking about? Hey, we'll be back. I learned how to get there. I had never been there before.
Right.
Got to ride down with Tina. You know, got to spend a little time with her. So I'm telling you, you got to look at stuff like that. But anyway, so we have to run. Thank you again, Mr. Versi Walker. Thank you to all of you who stayed online for this little extra tidbit. We've already lost those in the chat room. They're wondering, oh, what happened?
Great. Well, you have a wonderful day and a great weekend. We will do this one more again on next Wednesday.
Yes, we will. And don't forget, all of you, tomorrow, part 3 of bullying in the workplace. If you are being bullied, you want to tune into this. You want real answers and real solutions. It's a new phenomenon. It's about to sweep the nation. Mm-hmm. You also want to, if you are a bully, you want to tune in so you can get delivered from bullying. If you know bullies, tell them to listen in inconspicuously. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may not, you know, tell them what it's about because they might say, hey, what's that? But get them to listen, even if you got to put your phone on loudspeaker, because we're going to offer help also for the bullies. Okay, because we don't want people to get fired. We don't want folk going to jail, because that's what is about to happen as soon as they pass this law. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. there's going to be some heads are going to roll. So we're trying to help people. This is the Coastal Lisa Show, where we try to empower you and help you. But we also want people to be successful on their jobs. So all those people who have to work in companies, we want you to be successful there. We want you to go there whole and free. If you're an entrepreneur within your company, we want to help you with that. If you're an entrepreneur and you have a staff, we also want to help you with that. In case this is happening within your company, and you may be happening with your organization and you don't even know it. So we're going to tell you how you can protect yourself, because if it ends up like the sexual harassment situation, you could end up liable as a company. So you want to, if you're part of a union, you want to know what to do if you're a union rep. So tell everybody to tune in tomorrow. It's going to be a great show. Again, Mr. Walker, make it happen today for somebody. It'll always happen for you. Well, don't forget, your goals are the steps that will take you to the destiny of your dreams. Set some goals. Set some positive goals. I don't care how small it is. It doesn't matter how little it is. Matter of fact, it needs to be small so you can achieve it, so it can be reachable, and it'll give you confidence. You used to set a big goal, you may not reach it, and then you're going to begin to lose confidence. So set something small, achieve it, and then build your confidence. Over time, your confidence will grow, and you will see a change in your life like you never thought you'd ever have. Until tomorrow, remember, ain't no stopping you now.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coastal Lisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.